Well, I actually thought about that if I share my testimony any today or not, but since I am the only one today, so I guess now I have it. Okay, this is actually a quick, basic, a small story of my life. So my name is Valentine. I'm 29 years young, born in Kazakhstan, grew up in Germany. I was raised in a non-Christian home. My life was an up and down. I had good times. We were young and didn't think much of the future and the consequences of our choices. On the outside, I pretended to be a person who had everything under control. But on the inside, I've been dealing with a broken home and father issues. Moved to Canada, my sister and mother tried to bring me to Christ. But they prayed constantly, but I didn't want to listen to them. Till the day came where I've been trapped in a situation with no way out. My whole future was in danger. Staying on my knees, I just prayed. Because I had nowhere else to go. I said, God, when you take me out of this situation, when you help me, I will come to you and I will start to read the Bible. So suddenly things turned around and he took care of all the trouble. From this day, I just pray and let God take over. Inviting Christ in my life, I understand that my sinfulness separated me from God, and without him, I'll be totally lost. Having believed in him, I've been given the gift of eternal life. I found peace. Material things are not important anymore for me. Our family is now closer than ever. I'm even happy about the bad things in my life because they teach me a lesson. But the best part is I don't have to handle life by myself anymore. Now I'm like a child who can go to his father and ask for wisdom, strength, and to give me everything to become the man he wants me to be. I know that God is working on me and I trust him. He created me and he has a good plan for my life. One of my favorite verses of the Bible is Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. Thank you.
This is a David and Goliath story. And you're going to get to see how I'm going to dunk Goliath. Come on up a little closer. It's always good to have your wife in the audience. Yeah, you could kneel now if you'd like. Valentin, just chatting a little bit. You realize that everybody here who've placed their trust in Christ are your brothers and sisters. And one of the things that we probably don't realize is that the step that you're taking today speaks volumes to a lot of the young people that are here. Think of your nephews. Think of your friends. People who have prayed for you. You mentioned that you had a coworker here who was taunting you a little bit about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that story?
Oh, about that story! Wow, surprise, surprise. Well, thank you, Mike. I used to work at Meridian as a draftsman in a great design team, and I had actually a coworker. He's today here. It's Ben Penner, and I'm actually I like to say thank you, Ben, because you started that actually the whole thing in my life. Because Ben actually tried to convince me that there's a God, so, and that is a Jesus Christ. And we actually fight it almost every week. So he tried to tell me the story, and I told him, well, the theory of the dinosaurs and whatever. So, one day, I remember it, and we had actually a coffee break, and I told him, Ben, let's go back to work, because we say actually in German, von nichts kommt nichts. It actually means from nothing comes nothing. And he asked me, and he said, yes, that's right. And I said, well, see, Ben, you agree actually one time with me. And he said, yes. So why are you actually believing that? And I said, I believe what? And he said, well, the theory of the Big Bang. And I said, what do you mean with that? And he said, well, you just said this, from nothing comes nothing. So how can it be, you know, it just comes, you know, everything from nothing? And I said, yeah, Ben, come on, you know. Just leave it, so. But I got this actually in my head. So I drove home and I thought about that and thought about that, and I couldn't actually live without it. With that Ben was actually right. So I started to research for that. So, and the whole thing comes actually into rolling. So, and it started actually my interest on that question. How comes that everything comes from nothing? I want to say thank you, Ben, for that. Thank you, Mike.
Now you'll see what it's like to wrestle an alligator. One of the other things that has been happening in Valentin's life is that he realizes the importance of being in fellowship, and so he's, yeah, certainly coming to church, but he's also part of a small group, and he's growing as a disciple. He's realizes the importance of learning, and so he's in a Bible class and learning how to read, learning how to understand. And you know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to read the Bible, to actually understand it and to appreciate it. That's really where maturity comes in. And so praise the Lord for you, and thank the Lord for the growth that's taking place in your life. Valentin, I'm going to be baptizing you here in a moment. Have you placed your trust in Christ for the gift of eternal life?
Yes, I do.
And as you said in your testimony, you understand that your sin is what separates you from God.
Yes, correct.
This life that you've been given is a life that God wants you to have for all eternity. No one can take it away. You can't give it away. You can't lose it. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Based upon your confession of faith, I'll be baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So why would we do that? How many of you have been baptized? Just put your hand up. See, you're not alone. Not alone, Valentin. A lot of people got baptized. Have you considered, as you were listening to Valentin tell his story, the journey, have you thought about maybe taking a step back and looking at your past? How did the Lord bring you to that place? For some of you who haven't been baptized yet, you are also on a journey. God has been seeking to persuade you, certainly of the truth of what it means to be a disciple. Why is baptism important? How do we get to this place? In Valentin's case, how did he get to this place? He told you part of that story. Almost all of us in terms of what's happened here this morning, if this was just sort of be somewhat of a, we would call it a assembly line, we possibly couldn't say by virtue of the fact that the world says, you know, we live in Western civilization and Canada is a Christian nation. Well, clearly that's not the case, or else we'd say that all Canadians have placed their trust in the Lord and consequently all Canadians have been baptized. That didn't happen, that hasn't happened, and not likely will it happen. In Israel's history, the Lord was certainly calling people to be baptized, and he had a couple of reasons for that. First of all, to recognize that he was the Messiah, but secondly, also to realize that the way that they were living their lives, the way that they were practicing their idea of faith was wrong. And by being baptized, they were acknowledging that the way they had been practicing, the way that they were living, was wrong. And when I was baptized, and I trust that all of you that were baptized, you were saying, maybe not so in such a stark way, but you were saying, I want to live differently. I want to live for the Lord. And that's really what Valentin has said today. And when you think about the church for a moment, I want you to realize that the number of people in the church in Canada, is evangelical church, is probably less than 6%. And let's say that on average, 2 out of 3 of those are being baptized. So really only about 4% of the Christian population here in Canada would be baptized. Pardon me? Canadian population. What did I say? Well, the Christian population that lives in Canada, which is 6%. I knew we'd get around to that. You're going to get me off track here. I'm going to start thinking mathematics here. But in essence, we're a small percentage of people who get baptized. So why do people get baptized? Why did Valentin get baptized? Why were you baptized? What is baptism? After all, story that Frank was reading from John chapter 4, certainly a fascinating story. In verse 1, we read that the disciples were involved in baptizing people within their community, Jewish believers. What made this woman, though, in this story subsequent to them baptizing others, as Jesus met the Samaritan, what made this woman come to the conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah? What brought Valentin to the conclusion that Jesus is the Savior of the world? What brought you to that place? Again, the testimonies will be varied. Some of us raised in a Christian home, we were taught that from young, and so we accepted it. We were persuaded as we read the scriptures, and so we believed. But for some of us, we went through a different pilgrimage where we rejected that notion and we really didn't want to have anything to do with religiosity, churchianity, all in the name of Christianity or following some guy named Jesus. Well, when you read the first verse, you would get the idea or might think that baptizing people is a trade. Disciples were trained to baptize people. Well, our ministry here is not to simply baptize people. Actually, our ministry here is to help equip the saints so that they can go on and introduce others to who the Lord Jesus is as the Messiah, the one who dealt with all the sin of all people of all time, and to help them understand that the gift of eternal life is free. Clearly, it has to be free or it wouldn't be a gift. Now, as you saw Valentin go through the water, probably what didn't go through his mind is a passage that we went through in Romans chapter 6. There were things that we talked about as we prepared for baptism. How that in acknowledging the Lord Jesus as his Savior, he recognized, as Paul says in Romans 6, that the death of Christ was necessary, and that it was the resurrection of Christ that helped us realize that death has been conquered. And so we believe and understand from what the Scriptures have said that to be given eternal life means to live beyond death and to live with God for all eternity. Now, Valentin approached me some time ago and said he wanted to be baptized, and we were trying to nail down a date. And he wanted to be baptized right away. He said, let's do it. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I just got to get prepared. I had to muscle up a little bit so I could be in the tank with this guy. No, that wasn't the reason. There were just so many other things on the calendar. As you go to Acts chapter 8 and you read about the Ethiopian eunuch, the question he asks, why can't I be baptized right now? There's water right here. There was a whole group of people with him in which they understood that he was a follower of the God of the Jews, but now he had come to understand that Jesus is the one who died for all the sin of all people. And so as Philip explained that to him, he says, why can't I be baptized right now? And he was baptized immediately. He was persuaded. He believed, absolutely convinced of the truth of Scripture. So Valentine and I, we spent time looking at the Scriptures, talking about the significance of baptism. So are there any prerequisites for being baptized? What do you got to do? Well, first, you need to be a believer. You need to understand that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. If you're a young person here today, you might say, well, what is the Messiah? Well, the Messiah in the Old Testament was the one who would come and deliver, as we're told also in the Gospel of Matthew, deliver people from their sin. Valentin believed that. Secondly, you need to understand that the salvation, the gift that you've been given, is by grace. God is not obligated to give that gift, but he obligated himself to give that gift on the basis of you simply believing. It wouldn't be by works. Valentin, there isn't enough iron that you could pump to make it worthy, make you worthy to go to heaven, okay? There's not enough good deeds that you and I could possibly do. And it isn't that you're not a good person. It's just that you'll never be good enough. Andy Stanley wrote a book entitled, How Good is Good Enough? You ever get a chance to read it? Well worth it. You also need to understand that Christ died for you and that he took the penalty of your sin upon himself. Earlier this week, there was a news item, news caption, first woman who has been given a lethal injection since 1945. There was a vigil outside, people who would have said that they were believers. I'm not saying that they aren't. But the whole point was is that this person was given this lethal injection, capital punishment, because the state had determined that this person was worthy of death based upon the crime. Well, Scriptures teach that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the penalty for sin is death. And so all of us here are entitled, if you will, or deserving of the death penalty. You also need to understand that Christ resurrected. You say, of course I understand that. Well, you might understand it as a fact of history, but it needs to affect the way that you think about your own life. Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 10 tell us clearly, Romans chapter 8 verses 9 and 10, that we're raised to life. Just as Christ was raised from dead, so he gives life to our mortal bodies. But it's not just the mortality aspect in which we receive life, it's the spiritual aspect. You are now alive more than you ever have been because you've come to understand that you've been given life and that Christ conquered death. You need to understand that you've been granted the gift of eternal life. You've passed from death to life. So what's the meaning of baptism? Well, it's more than simply getting into the water in front of a lot of people and being nervous and hanging onto the front board before I go to dunk you. No, it's more than that. It's about your union with the Lord, your relationship. Baptism signifies that we know who Jesus is as a person and that we identify with his life. And we know that who Jesus is as he died on Calvary's cross, that he did so for us and that he resurrected. Baptism also signifies that we're no longer valuing the way the world lives. As you said in your testimony, material things aren't all that they're cracked up to be. And yet, of course, many of us would say that having material possessions should be a sign of I'm being blessed by God. I would say that's a false notion, one that can easily deceive us into believing that we're entitled of all the conveniences that we get to experience here in Western civilization. No, we're no longer following the values of the world, but we're to be following God's program for our lives. And where do we find that program? None other than in the written word of God, which the Spirit of God uses to teach us, to help us understand why the Lord did what he did, why the apostles did what they did, why the prophets of old did what they did. What was their motivation? None other than the realization that God loved them, and they in turn, out of their loyalty and love for God, gave their lives to him. Baptism, of course, is done publicly because we want everyone to know. We want people to understand that we are followers of Christ. We're not interested in following our own agendas. We want to follow Christ. So I wonder if you would just take a moment and just say, you know something, I'm actually, in terms of percentage-wise, I'm a small percentage of those who have been baptized here in Canada, but I'm also a small percentage of those who have a unique view of life. You have a unique view of life. Not just because you're peculiar, but because you've come to understand the things that we've just been talking about. And so we look at life differently. We see God in creation. We see him at work through that creation. We know that he is the power, I don't want to use the word force, especially with renewed interest in Star Wars and so on. But we understand that God is the one who sustains and preserves creation. The one who created all things, who sustains all things. You also realize that there's more to life, Valentine, than simply living by your five senses. There's this deep inner longing to ultimately meet the Lord and to realize that by faith we will meet him because he tells us that. There's more to just eating and drinking, being born, growing old, and dying. We see life from another vantage point, which, of course, much of the world has rejected or twisted in some way. We see life through the lens of Scripture, the Word of God, which says, in fact, that all of us, whether we're believers or not, are going to meet God. So in the meantime, God wants you and I to realize that there's a purpose for your life. Even as a believer, many young believers still don't grasp the purpose for life. What they do is they carry their Bibles as if it's a fire insurance policy. I'm not going to hell. But there's more to it. And as you mature, everything about your life is about making right choices. Deliberate choices for the sake of your Savior. You are created so that your life would bring transformation. Transformation that begins from the inside, a change of mind, a change of heart, a complete change of lifestyle for that matter. We're created so that God would be alive in our lives and through our lives and that we would bring life change to a world that lives in darkness. And so Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You and I were created so that we might glorify God. Matthew 5:16. Somebody want to look at that and read it out loud? Just go for it. As soon as you find it. So that people would see the transformation, be it evidenced in the way that you live your life, resulting in good works, so that they in turn would glorify God. If you haven't underlined that verse, that's well worth underlining. It gives you purpose for life. We're also ambassadors of a new age, an age that's yet to come. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are here to beckon the world, be reconciled to God. God has reconciled itself to the world in the giving of his Son, so that the issue of sin can be dealt with and was dealt with at Calvary. We're telling people of a new world yet to come. Life, eternal life, is a life that has understood. A person who understands that they're forgiven. A forgiven person should be a grateful person. And a grateful person should be a giving person. Giving of your life, your time, your energy for the sake of others. But not only are you forgiven, you recognize that God is worthy of your praise, worthy of your love, and worthy of your service. Let's think about that woman at the well for a moment. John chapter 4. Her life, probably not all that much unlike with some of us. Her life was complicated. She made choices that would complicate her life till she met God. Now, she met God at the well, in person of the Lord Jesus. She didn't think that everybody knew how complicated her life was. Certainly, as she looked back, she would have liked to have undone many of those choices, or at least avoided the consequences. But the choices that she made could never be undone. Hence the reason for us as parents is to teach our children the value in making right choices, because once wrong choices are committed, they can't be undone. Can there be healing? Can there be forgiveness? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean that there isn't still complication in life. No, this woman had several relationships which resulted in a reputation that made her an outcast in society. And so the Lord Jesus meets with this woman, begins to speak to her in a way that catches her by surprise. And that's what your testimony is to do. Your testimony is to be done and expressed in such a way that people understand that you actually can relate to them. You actually understand that people are complicated. People have made wrong choices. You may not agree with them, but you're accepting of the fact that people do make wrong choices. And the message that we need to share with people when they made those wrong choices is that they can be delivered. They can be set free. In Valentin's case, he was in a dilemma. He saw no way out. He shared that dilemma with me. It's a rather comical story in some ways, but it wasn't funny at the time. It could have been worse. Because the Lord Jesus knew all about this woman, and the Lord Jesus knows all about you, even if you're here today and you're simply pretending, as Valentin did for much of his life, and as many of us do, even in a setting like this, don't be a pretender. She was surprised. this man knows all about me. Caused her to be intrigued. And then again, why would he be asking me for water? He knows who I am. I'm a Samaritan woman. He's Jewish. Don't do that. And yet as she listens, she hears his words and she begins to understand that his words have a double meaning. Clearly, he doesn't have water that can quench my thirst for all of life. And yet he's speaking about something that can quench the real thirst of who I am, the longing of my being. Living water, eternal water, eternal life welling up type water. At first, she may have thought that he was speaking about some hidden well. Where is this fountain of youth? I'd like to get a glass of that. As the conversation went on, she began to realize that the Lord Jesus knew more than just something about her thirst. He knew about her life. He knew her completely. She couldn't hide. And the truth is that the Lord knows all about you and all about me. And we can't hide. He knows every detail, every insecurity, every deed, every word, and every thought. She came to the conclusion that he was a prophet. Next few verses, 19 and following, reveal the fact that she believed in a coming Messiah. If you're here today and you haven't understood the gospel clearly, we just simply want to help you understand that the Lord is returning to establish an earthly kingdom, which will be a precursor to an eternal kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth. She believed that. The Lord goes on to identify himself clearly to her that he is the Christ, the one who is to come. And she believes that. Not many people in our world understand that the Lord is coming again. They've heard the church believes that. Some people within the church believe that. We don't all believe that. Some pastors don't even believe that. That's how the sayings go. But her belief and understanding that Jesus was coming motivated her to want to tell others. She came to a realization that although she understood this truth, not many others understood. And so, Valentine, there's a lot of people that you know, whether in Germany, Kazakhstan, or right here in Winkler, who haven't yet understood what you've understood. And they need to hear. And all of us here need to go out just like that woman and tell others what we've come to understand. So why do people get baptized? How did Valentine get to this water? Well, he came to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. And figuratively speaking, he has drunk from the spring of water of which the Lord Jesus alluded to with that woman at the well. That wells up and brings peace to our being, to our hearts and our minds. Helps us understand how important this relationship is. No, not all your choices are going to be clear. You're still going to need to make clear choices, depending upon the Lord for wisdom. But when you make a mistake, you can still go to God and say, I made a mistake here. I sinned. I didn't trust you. I didn't wait upon you. I didn't seek your word for counsel. I didn't ask anybody else. I did it my own way. And God in his mercy will forgive you. You'll have to own up to it, though. Because if you don't own up to it, guess what? You'll just keep going down that same highway. And your life will get more complicated. And that's what many people do. Although they know that truth to be true. You see, it takes a lot of humility to admit where you're wrong. Walking through the waters of baptism is an admission. that this world does not satisfy, nor does it quench the real thirst, the spiritual thirst that I have, and that only God can realize, only God can quench in my heart. And so the water that Valentin has drunk from has given him eternal life. Titus 3, verse 5. He understands the Creator created him as to be an image bearer and is one who cares for him. And so now you turn to him as the one who gives the answers to life. Life is not a mathematical equation, although there are some relationships. Love and obey. Renee and I were talking about love and respect. They're not exclusively different. They're interwoven. They're tied together. They feed on each other, if you will. People get baptized because they understand that they can only have peace and forgiveness through the person of the Lord Jesus. And they understand that real life begins with a real Savior, one who loves them. People get baptized because they've understood that they've been given a gift. Not like Christmas. Gifts at Christmas wear out. We normally have to return them to Walmart. They break down. But this gift never breaks down. This gift has more value than we can fully understand. People get baptized because they want everyone to know that they're no longer following the pattern of their old way of life, but they're following the way of the Master. So it brings us back to verses 1 and 2. Disciples were baptizing. Today I baptized. Any one of you could baptize another. Jody is baptized. Many of you have baptized others. It's a beautiful thing. But who are we baptizing? We're baptizing men, women, boys, and girls who have believed that Jesus is the Messiah. And so when the Lord Jesus left this earth, he left us with a commission. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Valentin, we're here today in obedience to what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. We, in turn, as his disciples, are baptizing others. And I pray that one day you'll baptize someone bigger than you. We are believers, and those of us who want to follow Christ closely and teach others how to live for the Lord are disciples. And so if you're a mom and dad and you're here and you say, I am determined to raise my children in a godly way, you're a disciple. So I don't have any children, but I want to follow Jesus and I want to tell my coworkers and I want to tell others what it means to walk with the Lord. You're a disciple. And so if you're here today and you say, I'm not really sure I understood all of that, but some things got a little clearer. Or maybe you said, I've heard all of this before, but and I think I understand it, but I'm not sure I want to do it because it looks tough. Have you ever drunk from the spring of living water? If you have and you're drawing from that water daily, you'll keep perspective. For those of you who have, are you introducing others to the Messiah as that woman at the well did? Because there are people at the water fountains in your places of work who are looking for living water. Let's be sure to tell them. Our kids come to us with all kinds of questions. They're looking for answers. They need to be pointed to the Lord. May the Lord give us wisdom. Valentin, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. Let's stand together and close in a word of prayer. Lord, you know the condition of each of our hearts, just as you knew the condition of that woman who met you at the well. You know Valentin completely. You've understood the path that he has taken, the one that you've permitted, and by design, we're confronting him about the truth of who you are. Nothing out of nothing. You allowed circumstances to take place in his life where he needed to cry out to you. He's not unique. You've done it for most of us in the same way. But many of us were raised in Christian homes. We never experienced some of the complications that many of us have. And so maybe we've just sort of lulled ourselves to sleep, thinking there's no reality, there's no real need to tell others. Same old, same old. But in fact, Lord, if it wasn't for others telling me and each one here in this room, none of us would be saved. None of us would understand your marvelous grace. None of us would be persuaded of the Messiah. None of us would have read your word, and none of us would know what it means to be filled with the beauty of who you are, your love and your grace, your joy, fruit of the Spirit that we read about in your word. So give us strength in these coming days to tell others about you. Certainly let us as moms and dads be faithful in telling our children, praying for one another, helping them when they have questions, and being willing to be students where we need to be so that we can give them a good answer, a reasonable answer for the hope that is in us. Be with the ladies this afternoon as they have a bridal shower for Milena. We pray for Milena and Dennis as they anticipate their wedding day in this coming week. Pray that you'd bless them. We also pray, Lord, for ongoing comfort for the Dick family. We rejoice in the way that you have answered prayer and for Holly and Keith and Stacy. Father, you're at work in our midst, and we want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. So go with us now, and may we be your light, be your witnesses in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.